Good morning. Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you for the gifts, and I thank you who sent us cards and gifts and different things. It's always appreciated. Of course, we're going to talk about the Christmas story this morning. But before I do that, I'd like to read some excerpts to you that I got from Adam Clark. There they are. You know, Christians debate when the Lord was born. And I don't care. I mean, and I don't mean that to sound just flippant, but it doesn't matter to me. I know He was born. Yeah. The Word of God, God Himself became a man and came to the earth as a baby. And He was crucified for our sins. He was raised again for the third day, on the third day. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. But Dr. Clark made some observations when I was studying this week. I thought I'd like to share with you. It was a custom among the Jews to send out their sheep to the deserts about the Passover and bring them home at the commencement of the first rain. During the time they were out, the shepherds watched them night and day. As the Passover occurred in the spring and the first rain began early in our month of October or November, we find that the sheep were kept out in the open country during the whole of the summer. And these shepherds had not yet brought home their flocks. It is a presumptive argument that October had not yet commenced and that consequently our Lord was not born on the 25th of December when no flocks were out in the fields, nor could have been later than September, as the flocks were still in the fields by night. On this very ground, the nativity in December should be given up. Dr. Clark did not even like a nativity scene in the church representing the month of December. Now, I'm not trying to do a buzzkill for you, but I hear so many arguments against whether we should have a tree in the church. When was Jesus born? And some churches have really made a doctrine out of this, and they condemn us who celebrated on the 25th of December. Let me read a little further for you. Learned and pious men have trifled erroneously on this subject, making that of importance which the Holy Spirit, by His silence, has plainly informed them is of no importance. One of the scholars here, Fabricius, gives a catalog of no less than 136 different opinions among the scholars on the day of the Lord's birth. He said, the year of Christ's birth and His birthday have been placed by Christian sects and learned in every month of the year. The Egyptians celebrated in January, Wagonseil in February, Bochart in March, some mentioned by Clemens Alexandrius in April, others celebrate in May. Epiphanius speaks of some who placed it in June and of others who supposed it to have been in July. Wagonseil, who was not sure of February, fixed it probably in August. Lightfoot on the 15th of September. Scaliger, Cassibo, and Caldicus in October. Others in November. Now, here's what I want you to pay attention to. This was in the 6th century. The Latin Church, supreme in power and infallible in judgment, placed it on the 25th of December, the very day on which the ancient Romans celebrated the feast of their goddess, Bruma. He says, Pope Julius I was the person who made this alteration, and it appears to have been done for this reason. The sun now began its return towards the northern tropic, ending the winter, lengthening the short days, and introducing the spring. All this was probably deemed emblematical of the rising of the Son of Righteousness on the darkness of this world and causing the day spring from on high to visit mankind. Now, I don't know about you, but I can handle that. That this Pope said, hey, let's place it on a day when the earth shifts back on its axis and the days become longer and the sun's out longer and it's brighter outside, and you know, to represent to the church that Jesus Christ is the light that came into the world. So, I don't know where you stand, and I have talked to Christians that are dead set on, you know, it's not December, and it's not, I agree. And the scholars have figured that out. At the latest, they figure it's September. But I don't care. If we want to celebrate the birth of Christ in June, then I'm fine with that. But I'm okay with what this Pope did, all right? I think that his heart was in it. That's the way I'll say that. And it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, the fact is that God gave us a son. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The beautiful story of Christmas. The text I chose, of course, is Luke 2:1-20. It's probably being read in just about every church in America today. Luke's account of the birth of Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Cornelius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Father, we come together this day to celebrate your gift to the world, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, Lord, for your selfless love, that you gave up the dearest and most precious thing to you, that we might be saved and reconciled. Lord, we just want to thank you for that, and I pray this Christmas as we gather and exchange gifts and eat dinner, that we'll have on the front of our mind the reason that you sent Christ. I ask it in his name. Amen. You're going to have to bear with me now. All right. Jesus' birth, of course, was a direct fulfillment of Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from the old, from ancient days. I love the fact that God, before he ever created this earth, never created man on it, already had a plan for what was going to happen when man fell. You know, I was thinking the other day about, we talk about past, present, future. And when Moses asked God his name, God said, I am. And there's a lot to that name. You see, God doesn't see past, present, future. He just sees. God created time for us. For seasons, for times, for years. He gave that to us. And because we're also mortal, kind of helps us to mark off our years. Some people stop counting at a certain age. But, you know, the truth is, you can't outrun time. But God said to this little town, my son's going to come out of you who's going to rule Israel. How come God didn't have Jesus born in Jerusalem? You ever think about that? Why did he send angels to shepherds? Shepherds' word didn't count for a lot. I read in one place that they weren't even allowed in the temple while they were pasturing sheep because they were dirty. They smelled like sheep. But even, you know, you don't want to sit next to somebody in church that smells like sheep. And yet, those are the men whom God decided to give the news to. Why didn't he give it to the Pharisees? Why didn't he give it to the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin? Why didn't he give it to some of the elders of Israel? Paul says because he's chosen the weak things of this world to despise the strong. Not despise, that's not a good word. To shame the strong. Paul said, think about where you were when God called you. Not many of you were noble. Not many of you had a big name. You know, you weren't rich. In fact, we generally see the people who come to Christ live from paycheck to paycheck, or they're poor. A lot of people that trust in their riches and their money, they don't need Christ. And that's something here that I love about this story. We needed a Savior. You know, it's the angel talking Savior. He said to the shepherds, to you a Savior is born. What does that imply? A Savior is needed. We had to have a Savior. You see, in the garden, when man sinned, Adam and his wife sinned, it broke fellowship with God. And we had to be saved. That word Savior means to make safe. There's a guy born in Bethlehem to make you safe. Well, I didn't know I was in danger. That's the way a lot of people are. A lot of the world's blind to that fact, that they're in danger. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, men were in darkness, and God sent the true light to them. And he sent him as a baby. Why? You know, the Pharisees taught that the Messiah was going to ascend down from the top of the temple and touch down right there in the temple courts. And Satan tried to get Jesus to do that, and Jesus rebuked him for it. Why did he come as a baby? Because it was men that God needed to save. And it said that he had to become like one of us in order to save us. You know what the good news about that is? I can't ever go to Jesus and say, you don't understand how I feel. Because Jesus can look at me and say, yeah, son, I do. I've been tempted every way you have. Jesus grew up as a little boy. Think about that. The great I Am grew up playing with all these kids in Nazareth. He probably made mud pies and things like that that little kids do. I don't think he was mischievous. But he grew up just like you and I grew up. He experienced many joys in life. He experienced many sorrows.
He wept at the grave of a friend. And then he raised him from the dead. He's man and he's God. When the angel said, a Savior is born, one who's going to deliver and preserve you and make you alive, he called him Christ. The Christ. Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. It's a title. Jesus would have been called Yeshua Bar Yosef. Jesus, the son of Joseph. That's what the people of Nazareth called him. But the angel said, this is Yeshua, which means God saves, the Christ, the anointed one. This had a very big implication in the Jewish mind. You see, God would have the high priest anointed. The other priests would be anointed with the holy oil that they could only put on priests. And then the kings were anointed. So anytime you were anointed, you were set aside for a specific purpose. Nowadays in the church, we lay hands on people. When I was ordained as a minister, the elders laid hands on me and prayed. That's the same thing as anointing you. When they anointed me as an elder, the same thing. They laid hands on me and they prayed. Same thing as pouring the holy oil on me. You see, I was set apart for a specific purpose. And Jesus came for a specific purpose. He came to bear witness to the truth that man is lost. And it was the religious leaders that hated him the worst. Because he called them snakes. He said, you go out and make a convert and he's twice the child of hell you are. You don't have it figured out like you think you do. That was the problem when he came into the world. The religious teachers had it in their minds that it was going to happen like this. And God just upset the apple cart and he came in as a poor little baby. His folks couldn't even get a room in the inn. He was born in a barn. I used to wonder if Jesus went around leaving doors open. You born in a barn, boy? Yeah. Oh, that's kind of flipping out. I'm sorry. I just think about stuff like that. He said, Christ, the anointed, the Lord. That's the big one. Dr. Clark says, this word Lord is the word in the Old Testament for Jehovah. I am the great God. Now God was just being as honest with these shepherds as he knew how. And the angel said, there's a Savior born today. He's here to save you and to give you life. And he said, he's the anointed of God, the Messiah. The Hebrew is Mashiach. And Mashiach literally means anointed one. And that's where they get their word Messiah from. And he was anointed for a specific person. And the angel said, this baby is Jehovah. I think one of the shepherds looked around and said, did I hear that right? Did he say Jehovah, the great I am? Someone said, yeah, I think that's what he said. But how could that be? Men still ask that question, but how could that be? How could God become a man? I always flip it back on them. What's impossible with God? Why do you have trouble believing that? If you don't believe that, you're not saved. I'm just being honest with you. If you don't understand and believe that God, the Word, became the man Jesus, you're not saved. You don't have the Spirit of Christ in you. You don't belong to him because he bears witness to that truth. And at his birth, the angel announced it like that. He said, he's the Christ, the anointed. He's the Savior. He's come here to give you life. And he's Yahweh, Jehovah. I know we say Jehovah, but there's no J in Hebrew. It's not. That's how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua Yamashiach. Christ the Anointed. Am I impressing you?
That guy knows a little bit of Hebrew.
It impresses me because I can't read or write Hebrew. I just know a couple words.
But what a powerful title that is.
Joseph Thayer was a Unitarian. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe in the Trinity. But he was an honest scholar. Thayer's lexicon of the Greek is used in a lot of churches. Thayer denounced the deity of Christ, said, I don't believe it. But when he translated the Bible, he said, there's only one way you can translate this. The Greek says, God. That's an honest scholar. I don't believe it, but this is what the Bible says. That's a mixed up scholar as far as I'm concerned. What is your problem, dude? But you know a lot of people today don't believe. I hear people all the time, well, Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. You know, he was a good teacher. Well, really, I told you last week, the Jews said, before you were here before Abraham, you're not even 50 yet, and you said Abraham rejoiced to see your birth. Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. And they picked up stones, not because his grammar was bad, because he used that name that belonged to God. They knew exactly what he was saying. This is the part of the Christmas story we overlook. Everybody loves babies. Well, about everybody loves babies. I bet a few people don't care for them. But I like babies. When they coo at you, you know, and they're just innocent. And if a kid doesn't like you, they generally will tell you, you know, I don't like you. I don't want you holding me. And they're innocent. Oh, I love your innocence. And God became a man. Paul said he did not claim his rights as deity in Philippians. Although in very nature he was God, he did not cling to. That's what the Greek means originally. He did not say, I got rights, I'm God. He humbled himself, being in the form of a servant, and he became a servant even to death. Death on the cross. One of the most scandalous deaths he could die back then. That's what this baby came to do. I've had people tell me, I didn't ask God to do that. I've been told, I didn't ask God to do that. No, you didn't have to. He loved you so much. That's why this baby came. He loved you so much that he experienced your humanity. He knows how it feels. The Lord God. And by the by, when you read that word in the New Testament, people calling Jesus Lord. Excuse me. That's the word they're using. Especially the people whose lives he touched. He asked the blind man that he healed, do you believe in the Son of Man? He said, who is he that I might believe in? He said, you've seen him and you're talking with him. And he said, the man fell at his feet and said, Lord, I believe. You know how much that upset the Jewish leaders? That Jesus stood there and allowed that man to worship him as Jehovah? No wonder they wanted to kill him. There's only two conclusions you can draw from the things that the Lord said. Either they're true or he was deluded. There's no middle ground there. And I've often wondered why God didn't do this in the high priest's house or in his presence. Why didn't he allow the high priest at that time to see these angels and say, this is the Savior, the Messiah that you've been waiting for, and he's God? Because they'd have probably said, nah. even if an angel would have told him. And I hear people all the time telling me, you know, if God would just do this in my life, then I'd become a Christian. And I throw it right back at him and say, no, you wouldn't. Because he's done the greatest thing he could do for you, and you reject that. And I said, if God did what you was asking for, you'd ask for something else. That's the way we are. A little off track, but I loved it when Reagan bombed Syria. And Gaddafi stood there and said, this is a line of death. Don't cross that line. After the bombing, he probably backed up and said, okay, now this is the line of death. Don't cross this line. C.S. Lewis pointed out that God who sees it all, planned to build this earth and the universe around us, and to put man on the earth, and he knew that man would sin, and that sin would cost the life of his son, and he did it anyway. I came to think if it was me, if it wasn't going to work, I'd say no point in doing it. But he did it anyway. How can you not trust a God like that? This coming year, I'm going to be talking about faith, about prayer. We're going to be talking on some pretty exciting subjects. We don't know who we are in Christ. We've bought the lies of the church and the devil for so many years, or the world and the devil. We don't understand who we are. We're going to talk about who we are in Christ. This little baby changed the world. You know that? This world's never been the same since the day that infant came in. He's still talked about. He's mocked. He's loved. He's worshipped. He's rejected. And he knew all that was going to happen. But you know why he came? Because people like you needed a Savior, and you said yes. I hope. Yeah. I love that song that Dottie Rambo wrote. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. None of us deserve this great gift that God sent. His one and only Son, none of us deserved it. I hear false humility sometimes in Christians, and I'm just not worthy. Well, you're right, you're not. Neither am I. If we'd gone on worthiness, this church would be empty. You'd have to call a preacher in from somewhere else if anybody did come. If I wouldn't be here, I'm not worthy. But I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad he loved me so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. Do you have that this morning? Have you accepted this great gift that God has sent for you? In the prophet Malachi, in the book of Deuteronomy, God was talking about sending his Son. And he told Moses he'll be just like you. He'll come up from his brothers. Well, Moses wasn't just held in real high esteem by a lot of the Jews. Some of them said, who elected you to be our leader? Then the ground opened up and swallowed some of them. They said, well, okay. You know, yeah, I guess you are a leader. But then they got to the Jordan. They said, we're going to elect new leaders and go back to Egypt. Moses was constantly in a tug of war with these people. And the implications are, God says, I'm sending my prophet, just like you. He'll be born out of your own people. But God knew that a lot of them wouldn't even listen to him. And he said, whoever refuses to listen to this guy, I will hold him accountable. We're in a time of mercy, church. That's our message to the world. But they also need to be warned. There's a judgment coming. And when that comes, the door of mercy will be shut. There'll be a lot of people on that day saying, but God, now I know, now I believe. And God says, but I never knew you. You chose your God, now serve him. As we open our gifts tomorrow and overeat and celebrate the birth of Christ, let's keep it in the forefront of our minds that God gave such a great gift that you and I might be called children of God. That ought to be something we should sing about and be joyful about. If you're a believer, if you have been immersed in the waters of baptism, forgiven of your sins, and born again, you're a child of God. Boy, that ought to got nine men out here somewhere. Are you debating it still? Yeah. I pray that you're going to have a blessed Christmas and a happy new year and a prosperous new year. I pray that for each one of you. I wish that. But I pray more that you will draw closer to God and to Jesus Christ and come to know him better. That's what Jesus said eternal life is. This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Will you stand with me this morning? Yeah, don't look like your roast's going to burn today. If you've never called on the Lord, that's what the Bible calls it, call on the Lord. If you've never pleaded with him and acknowledged that, yeah, I am a sinner, you're right, I'm wicked, and that's why your son had to come, and I want to be covered in that blood, then do it. Come forward. Sit down. I won't embarrass you. I just want to talk to you. If you don't want to come forward, talk to me. I'll be out there at the back door. I'll be usually one of the last ones that leave. But come and settle it this morning.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Of our bulletin. If you can be praying for these people, lifting them up to the Lord. No service tonight. Go home and spend time with your families. No service Wednesday night. I'm going to a meeting of the Misfits Recovery. So I'll fit right in there. And I want to try to get a chapter going here in Mansfield. It's a place where people that are addicted to drugs have been or been busted. Sometimes the court mandates them, so they have to go. I'm going to see about starting that here at Mansfield and holding meetings here in the church. You know, that's the people Jesus came to save. That's the kind of people Jesus came to save. And I was very impressed. The judge said, I can't recommend Jesus Christ from the bench, but I can send them to you. I said, amen. You send them. Any prayer requests before we leave? Amen. Yeah, I do keep praying for Pete Dannon. He had a stone and they busted it up, but he's still having problems. I've heard they're very, very painful. So be in prayer for him. Yes. Okay. All right. What are we doing, Matt? Well, I'm going to ask whoever has the closing prayer, Phil. Please pray.
Father in heaven, we just give you thanks and praise for what you've done. You've given us salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just lift our hearts up to you, and we just ask, Father, that you fill each one of us with joy unspeakable as we remember what you've done, as we celebrate with excitement the truth that we are truly saved. Father, we just thank you that you came down as one of us, and you know our trials and tribulations. Lord, I pray for each person here, for their health and their vitality. I pray for those who didn't make it, those who are suffering with sickness, that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, would give life and health and vitality to their mortal bodies in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for each one of us here as we go forward and prepare for the new year, that we would be prepared, Lord, by your Spirit, by your word, to proclaim the truth, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Fill each one of us with excitement. Fill each one of us with brotherhood and sisterhood. May the right hand of fellowship extend till we become a family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that